The Da Vinci Deception by Erwin Lutzer, published by Tyndale House Publishers of Wheaton, Illinois. Dedication to our good friends David and Nancy Lagerfeld, who alerted me to the fact that some people reading the Da Vinci Code were confusing legends with facts and superstitions with sober history. Your commitment to the authentic Jesus has helped others find the way. Author's note: The Puzzle of Jesus. Who do you say that I am? The disciples knew what others were saying about Jesus. Some thought that he was John the Baptist or one of the prophets. But Jesus wanted a personal response. Who do you say that I am? Jesus pressed for their opinion, not about what he was saying or doing. He did not ask whether the disciples liked him or not. His question went to the heart of who he was as a person. Was he just an extraordinary man, or was he something more? Even today, the question still haunts us. The controversy that surrounded the release of the movie, The Passion of the Christ, proved that this question still cries for an answer. Justin Pope, in a recent Chicago Sun-Times article, says that Jesus is a distant symbol with many interpretations. There's black Jesus and white Jesus, homely and handsome, capitalist and socialist, stern and hippie, hardworking social reformer, mystical comforter. The Da Vinci Code offers a different answer. Jesus the married man, Jesus the feminist, Jesus the mortal prophet. It's clear that everyone has an opinion about Jesus. In this book, we'll investigate the historical roots of early Christianity. We'll seek to give credible answers to these questions. Who is Jesus? Are the documents of the New Testament reliable accounts of his life and ministry? And what should this mean to us who live in the 21st century? We'll take a look at how dissenters of the early centuries offered their own radical interpretation of the life and mission of Jesus. These dissenters had their own documents, their own religious convictions, and their own teachers. In this study, we will evaluate what they had to say and how it still impacts us today. Join me on this journey as we explore the origins of Christian faith. Dr. Erwin Lutzer. Preface: The Da Vinci Code at a glance. Welcome to the mysterious world of conspiracy, secret codes, and historical documents hidden for as many centuries as the Church has existed. If you've not read The Da Vinci Code, I'll introduce you to the story and to some novel ideas you might not have heard before, such as Jesus was married to Mary Magdalene. They had children who intermarried with the French royal line. And all of this has been known for centuries, but the truth has been kept from the public for fear of destroying the power of the Church. In fact, there is a highly secret organization that guards documents that, if made public, would destroy Christianity as we know it. Rumors of this conspiracy have been whispered for centuries, says best-selling author Dan Brown in The Da Vinci Code. In fact, these rumors have appeared in countless languages, including the languages of art, music, and literature. And, we are told, some of the most dramatic evidence appears in the paintings of Leonardo da Vinci. The Da Vinci Code has been on the bestseller list for months, and with an upcoming movie based on the book, the story is sure to receive even wider circulation. If you've not read the novel, you probably know someone who has. Many are thinking that the book just might have some plausibility. Perhaps the historical evidence is shaky, but as one reviewer asked, why can't we believe that it might have happened? Before we answer that question, let's take a look at the book's premise. In brief, here's the story. The Da Vinci Code opens with the curator of the Louvre lying dead in a pool of his own blood. Meanwhile, Robert Langdon, a Harvard professor and expert in esoteric symbolism, is in Paris on business. The French police track Langdon down at his hotel and ask him to interpret a strange cipher left on the body of the murder victim. Langdon is joined in his investigation by a young cryptologist named Sophie Nouveau. When Sophie privately warns Robert that he is the prime suspect in the murder, they flee. But the murder victim has intentionally left clues for them to follow. As they decipher his coded instructions, Robert and Sophie quickly realize that the crime is linked to the legendary search for the Holy Grail. Quite providentially, the pair is able to link up with a Holy Grail fanatic, Sir Leigh Teabing, whose extensive knowledge and research fuel their efforts to find the Grail. Teabing enthusiastically instructs the pair on matters that surround the events of the New Testament, including an alternate understanding of Jesus, Mary Magdalene, and the true nature of the Holy Grail. He cites the Gnostic Gospels, ancient documents that supposedly give a more reliable account of Christ's life and teachings than the New Testament documents we know today. Still sought by the authorities, Robert, Sophie, and now Sir Leigh flee to London and later Scotland, hoping to find more evidence about the murder and its connection to the Holy Grail. The reader is kept in suspense as these smart and determined characters pierce the hidden world of mystery and conspiracy in an attempt to overcome centuries of deceit and secrecy.